yeah, good morning. I love that in there. Thanks for keeping them in there. A little Rob Zombie to get us started here on a Sunday morning. Feeling good this morning and feeling well. We are here on the Sunday Morning Roundtable. Hey, I found out that Blog Talk Radio is quite sensitive about expiration dates on credit cards. So my new credit card's coming in the mail that we use to pay for things like Blog Talk Radio and some things like on eBay and things like that. So we got to wait for the card, and then we'll get updated there and have our show on our regular channel. But, of course, we appreciate Scorekeeper having us on here on the NDB Media channel. We appreciate that big, big time because we wouldn't be able to get in our daily thing. Talking about sports. I mean, geez, you know, and I love the IFL, but it's so tiring. And the funny thing is that I enjoy it. So it's one of those tiring things that you enjoy doing. And I'm lucky. But thinking about other sports sometimes and calling the games, and that's what's tiring because you got to keep track of some of the players, keep track of your team that you're covering, and do interviews and things like that. And hell, before you know it, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night and you're going, geez, what happened to the day? Because when you work a regular job, you know, I do regular work during the day, and then I write, I try, and I'm going to get back to my schedule because I'm kind of off it a little bit. I write an article in the morning, do my work, I write an article early in the morning, and then I get to work, and then I start working on whether it's football, sports. So since the IFL is almost done, we are lucky because we are able to do it. And let's welcome in the Scorekeeper. Good morning, Scorekeeper. How are you?
I have no coffee.
That is not good.
I will have coffee in a few moments.
Yes, you need to have coffee. And what we will also do is take that, you know, half break, and then you can refill that coffee and get it. And did you wake up just to join us here on the That Being Said show?
Well, it would actually sound a lot better, but the reality is I was watching me some Wimbledon. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Wimbledon is going along. And I think Ian said he might join us if he's capable of doing so. So keep us updated on Wimbledon. And, yeah, you know, one thing about Facebook and those that don't know, you know, you get to reach out to some of them. I had a friend back in high school that I adored. And, of course, you know, you get married, you move on. I moved to Arizona, and then in our day, you lost track of people. And now in the new day and age, if you move away from someone via Facebook or whatever, you can keep a constant update with people without having to write a letter, put a stamp on it. You get that instant gratification to keep your friendships together. Well, I came back in touch with one of my friends back from high school, and I've been yapping at him. Before I knew it, I was up at 7 o'clock, and it's time for the show, 10 o'clock, and I've been yapping with him for 3 hours. So Facebook is a lot of fun, and it helps keep the relations that you might have lost and might be able to get them back in touch. I think that's kind of cool.
I would have to agree. I spent many years after high school trying to make contact and playing the old game. And the minute I joined Facebook, I believe it was about maybe 3 years now, I made contact with everyone. So, wow, that made life a lot easier.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's, you know, I never thought how tough it was to put a stamp on something and send the damn thing. I mean, it really is. I mean, you go to, oh, by the way, just to let you know, Scorekeeper, I found out that Blog Talk Radio is quite sensitive about having expiration dates on credit cards. So that's the problem that was going on with our channel. So they're sending me out another credit card, and we're going to get that all set up on Wednesday. So just to keep you kind of informed, I thought that was quite funny because I used the credit card and the same credit card since we started doing the Couch Potato Sports Show, and there it is. It finally expired, evidently, in July of 2012. So, So the credit card company is going to overnight me one. We'll get back up and running over there. So just to kind of keep you informed, I was going to use the other card, and the wife gave me the look of death that I was not to do that, because it's what we do here is we play. This is not business. So I said, well, I guess I'll wait.
Yeah.
You're familiar with that look, aren't you? That look of death from your wife?
Well, for other reasons, yes.
So we know about it. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to That Being Said here. It's a Sunday morning roundtable. Cuervo just logged into the chat room. I'm sure he will be getting in here at any moment. And we're going to talk about some things that are going on in sports. And I want to get him in here so we'll get started. Alan, well, his name is Brian Allen, and I call him Alan all the time. Wow, had a little feedback. Oh, I lost the scorekeeper. The scorekeeper dropped off. But Brian may or may not be able to join us. He said he'll give us a listen here while he's at work. I don't know if he'll be able to call in. We'll try to get him in and get him all set. And their scorekeeper, he is back. But we're getting set here to talk a little sports and talk about the main things that are going on in sports and I've discovered something also there, scorekeeper. I discovered YouTube, or not YouTube, Ustream. I've discovered Ustream and actually watched an indoor football game from the Arena League last night. And while looking around on Ustream, I went ahead and I posted something in the chat room. And I've got to find out, is a hot dog eating contest a sport? Or is that just fun? I mean, I don't know. I look at it, and I was watching it, and I put it up in the chat room there, the link to this guy who does the 4th of July hot dog eating contest. I don't know how to say his name, but Kabashi, I think is how you say it. He ate 68 hot dogs in a matter of, I'm not sure how long the hot dog eating contest is, but I got to find out from you, is hot dog eating contest a sport?
It's as much as a sport as NASCAR. No, it's as much as a sport as the PGA is.
Yeah. Well, I've always been one to say golf is not a sport. It's a recreation.
Yeah, I love miniature golf like the best of them, for goodness sake. I mean, it's great getting it through the windmill, even though those mountains where they have a little hole at the very top. Those are my undoing. That's my Waterloo. Those very high cones. That's my Waterloo, baby.
Hey, we got to work on that. I understand. Let's do this. Hey, hold on. Brian didn't push the one button, so I made you active. Are you able to talk or no? While you're at work?
Forgot to hit one. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I just didn't want to bring you in if you couldn't talk because I know you're at work. Thanks for joining us here on the roundtable here on That Being Said. Hey, is hot dog eating contest, is it actually a sport, you think?
It has to be, because if I ate more than three, I would throw up. So sure, it's a sport. Definitely.
I love hot dogs, but man, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know about eating more than three. And this guy's got it perfected. I mean, he's got the glasses. He dunks the buns and sucks down the bun, then jams the hot dog in his mouth. You know, it's actually amazing. I sat and watched this thing for that's 2 minutes of my life. I know I'm not going to get back. I found it amazing. He is very, he's very good at what he does. I mean, he's got it figured out. He's got a style. And without question, he's got to be the hot dog eating champion. I mean, I haven't heard of until this guy came on the scene. I didn't even know they had a 4th of July hot dog eating contest every year.
Yeah, it's big. It's real big. But I just don't see how anybody can eat that, man. I just really don't. I mean, I didn't know it was possible to eat that many hot dogs until I watched this contest before years back, and I was just amazed at these guys how they can do it. And even one woman ate 46, I believe. And
46. Now, Kobashi this year ate 68 hot dogs in the time limit. And like I said, I don't know what the time limit is, but I'd need a month to eat 68. I'd need more than a month. I'd probably need 2 months to eat 68 hot dogs. My God. So we'll find out from Cuervo when he finally decides to join us whether or not that eating hot dogs is actually a sport. But and there's some other things in sports that we are going to be going through. Until he gets in, because I know he's not a hockey guy, so we'll start off with hockey really quick. As far as the roundtable is concerned, and folks that want to get in on the roundtable, 347-637-2306. Or if you want to become a panelist, call in or put the subject in the chat room. We'll talk about it. But Jaromír Jágr goes ahead and he signs with the Dallas Stars. Of course, I get this news. I'm down in Dallas, and I get this news that Jaromír Jágr goes ahead and signs that he's going to be down here in Dallas. And this guy is 40 years old. Now, there's no doubt that this guy has had a career that's unbelievable. And he's, you know, going to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think they have one. I'm pretty sure they do. He's going to be there. And when I look at this guy and I look at what he does, I'm wondering, are the Dallas Stars serious about having this guy on the ice for many shifts a game and getting him in there and being a main focal point of this Dallas Stars team? And I don't know very much. I'll go to Alan really quick. I mean, Jaromír Jágr, we know how great he is, but at 40, is this guy ready to move on? Or are they really interested in having him in part of this team and being a force on the Dallas Stars?
Well, I think they're interested with $4.5 million. So obviously he can still play the game. He's had some good numbers over the years, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down too much.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I know when I was watching him when he was in Philadelphia forever, and then he re-signed with Philadelphia. When he actually signed with the Stars, I was actually shocked. I meant to actually talk about this yesterday, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much scorekeeper keeps up with hockey or keeps up with some of the history of some of the guys that are good. Jaromír Jágr and the Dallas Stars, I mean, a good fit? I mean, or are they going to use him for regular shift work?
Sonny, it's a good fit for them. He's going to be on the second line, no doubt about it. At 40, some players in the NHL, I'm not going to be able to come up with their names right now, have still done very well. This game is not necessarily a game of youth like basketball or even football for that matter. Hockey is designed for the player that can play the game, similar to baseball. You can have a 38, 40-year-old baseball player doing incredibly well, whereas it's kind of odd in basketball, as I mentioned. Hockey, nah, Jaromír Jágr, he brings a big name. It's a selling point, Sonny, but beyond the selling point, yeah, he's a second-line guy, and he fits in very well with this team. Dallas, well, they need a few Jaromír Jágrs, in my humble opinion.
And because they have not been successful and they have not been making playoffs, they have not been making a movement at all. And guess what? There he is. Let's do this.
Hey, sports fans, this is the scorekeeper once again.
Wrong
That's
one.
The wrong one.
Try this.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yeah.
Your ass better call somebody.
That's right. Here he is. He's the co-host of the Prime program. Pitta Cuervo, good morning, my friend. Okay, before we get started, I don't know if you know much about Jaromir Jagr signing with the Dallas Stars. What is your opinion? Is this just a promotion to put butts in the seat, or are they really interested in getting this guy on the ice for a long period of time? Good morning, Cuervo.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. And yes, absolutely selling point. Everything that the scorekeeper said, like he always likes to say, I was nodding my head as he was saying it because he's exactly on point as far as what this signing does for the Dallas Stars. Like you said, they haven't been very successful lately, but it's kind of like if an NFL team was to actually sign Terrell Owens to their squad. They know he's not going to be the old CEO that he used to be, but it's a selling point. Hey, come out, come see this guy. You know, he's still got it in him and whatnot, and it's going to work for a little while. But as far as him going back to the Jagr that he was, you know, 5-10 years ago, not happening.
Not happening, but this, I mean, hockey is all about stamina. I mean, we can talk about the NFL. I mean, Think about the NFL. The NFL plays last 14 to 15 seconds max, and I'm talking max, and then they get a 45-second break before they run the next play. Hockey, on the other hand, is one of these games where you are skating for minutes upon minutes upon minutes before a whistle is blown. And I will tell you, it's really interesting to me about how some people think that, you know, and I know football is a violent sport, but as far as action per minute, I mean, you can't beat the NHL or hockey in general. I mean, you've got to be in good shape. You've got to have stamina. You've got to be able to put it out there for long periods of time. More so, if a play is made, you walk back to the huddle in the NFL. You just walk back into it. So, I mean, for violence per minute, I think you get more in hockey. But, you know, the NFL is one of these things where you see violence and everything, but you don't see what it takes in order to, you know, if you're in somewhat shape, I think you can play football, but I think you got to be – let's get everybody's opinion. Don't you think you have to be in better shape to be a hockey player? Let's go ahead. We'll start it with Cuervo since he's in. Cuervo, I mean, do you think you have to be in better shape to be a hockey player or an NFL football player?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, you have to skate for, you know, 5, maybe 10 minutes at a time before a line change comes up. In football, yeah, you start and you stop, but think about this, too. They both wear pads because of that, but I would think that there's a little bit more that you have to wear in football. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know, maybe it's the same amount, but just based on what I've seen when I watch, you know, hockey compared to football, there's a little bit more equipment that you wear when you play football. So with that being said, you know, you're running around, you're carrying more weight. So, you know, you got to be in pretty good shape to carry all that weight. But, I mean, either way, either sport you're playing, guys, to be 40 years old and play either one of those sports, you have to work twice as hard, three times as hard to be able to do what you did, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's Brian. I mean, I don't know how much you're into the into hockey or whatever. What do you think? I mean, it sound about right.
Well, I've never played hockey. I played football, but I have known a couple who play both, and they said that they had to be a lot better in shape for hockey just because of, you know, keep going longer and longer. But you also take a pounding in hockey as well, and I think it would be harder to get hit on the ice than it would be on grass. So yeah, I think hockey, you have to be in better shape.
Yeah, I don't know. Scorekeeper.
Guys, two different games. I mean, in many ways, you know, you've got to be in – I mean, it's two different types of being in shape, guys. If you bring a hockey player up to an NFL lineman, the NFL lineman's going to kill him, okay?
Yes.
But if you're talking about, you know, a movement and stuff, the NHL player, the hockey player is better. Different types of abilities. Look, they skate all the time. But I think you can compare them, but – understand it genuinely is two different types of games. In some ways, the hockey players are better, and in some ways, the NFL players, or basketball players for that matter. I don't know if you can compare that. They're both in excellent shape for what they do. NFL players, you guys haven't played into the in. Well, not actually, no, you don't have very many vets anymore. In the NHL, you had Marcel Dion, Wayne Gretzky, Paul Coffey, Messier. These guys played late into their, well, I don't want to say career, but these were older guys, and they were able to hold on. Hockey's a different game, guys. And if you can keep your stamina up, hey, you've got 30- and 40-year players in hockey doing okay.
Yep, I agree. It's something along the line. I love a good hockey game. I love a good football game. Actually caught myself watching more indoor football with the Arena League. Watched the SaberCats last night and loving some indoor football. But you're right. There's certain aspects of certain games that will see if you are able to get it done. So I don't know. It just seems like to me that I think as far as shape, I think you'd have to be a little bit more in shape to be a hockey player because of the constant cardio. More so, I mean, there's cardio in football, don't get me wrong, but the constant cardio that is hockey, wow, it just seems to be a pretty hard sport to keep up on, especially when it comes to cardio. But that's I love hockey. It doesn't get much better. I mean, football and hockey have to be number one, number two for me as far as sports are concerned. And so it's good stuff. So let's talk a little bit about what Cuervo brought up yesterday, and I'm going to shoot it to him again first because he brought up the subject because we were talking NBA and NBA contracts yesterday and what we were looking at as far as some deals being signed based upon the talents of some players or maybe based upon the potential of some players. And Cuervo, you were talking about it yesterday. It seemed like some players, and I'll just throw out Jeremy Lin because that was more in the fact of where we were headed there. You're taking a chance on a Jeremy Lin on a contract that is amazing when you think about it. You're talking about a $28 million contract for 4 years for a Jeremy Lin based upon what little in reality that we've seen of a Jeremy Lin. Contracts are a little crazy. What do you think of how, if you're going to be the GM, put the all four of us will put on the GM hat and decide where are we when it comes to contracts and how are you going to sign certain players? Cuervo.
For me, you know, I put some thought into it, and, you know, I think it's a good thing to think about because we've seen it a lot in the different sports lately. You know, Albert Pujols, for example, he goes and he signs for 10 years with the Anaheim Angels. And, you know, a lot of people are already talking about, well, was it worth it, and things like that. You look at, you know, even the Peyton Manning contract, I think that was a 4-year deal as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he just got over, you know, one of the most serious you know, injuries, one of the most serious, rehab that any athlete can go through. So for me, when I thought about it, I think you have to look at, I kind of would call it the 3-year rule. You look at the past 3 years, you look at the production that they've had, and you compare it. You compare it to the guys that are getting paid a certain amount. And I think that's what some, you know, GMs try to do. But a lot of times with, like, guys like Lynn and things like that, they get caught up in the hype. They get caught up in what, you know, what it could become. As a GM, I cannot take that chance as far as about potential. Potential is great, but potential is not – there's no facts in it. It's just opinion. It's just, hey, I think this could happen. So it's too risky. So I think for me – when it comes to when you want to do a big term deal like that, I think you have to look at the past 3 seasons and the production that they've had. If you think it's worth it, then hey, go for it. If not, then hey, you know, it may hurt to let a guy go, but you know, you do what you got to do because at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yep. It's all about the money. I mean, it really is. It's all about the money when you decide whether or not you got, you know, if you're a franchise struggling to keep butts in the seats and you got to figure out what you're going to do to put a, you know, put those butts in that seat, is whether or not you're going to sign a guy like that. Let's run on over to Brian. Brian, if you're a GM, I mean, how are you handling it? Or is it the state of the franchise on how you're going to handle a guy and their contracts?
I think it's the state of the franchise. And somebody like Jeremy Lin, you know, he's a name now. He got his name in New York. So just say if he went to Houston, you'd pay him that money just to put people in the stand. You would hope that would increase your season ticket sales and your jerseys and whatnot. So I just think it's in the where your franchise is at that certain time. It depends on how much money you pay a player.
Yeah, look at what they did with Darren Williams up in the Nets. They got 500 more season ticket holders after they signed him up. Definitely, you want to talk about a state of a franchise. I mean, there's a franchise right there that's got money to burn, and they're in the process of doing it, especially with them looking at Dwight Howard. Run on over to Scorekeeper. I mean, yeah, how are you looking at it if you're wearing the GM hat?
Well, I always fancy myself as wearing the GM hat, so this should be relatively easy. Look, Jeremy Lin, great. I like the guy, but nowhere near am I going to pay him that amount. And nowhere near am I going to be paying these long-term deals. The only thing that I'm going to be doing is trying to bring the best players that I can. If I have a budget, then you know what? That means I'm not the Yankees. That means I've got to build from internal, you know, youth and stuff. You've got to compensate. Look, it's a job. You got to keep these guys. You want to keep them loyal. You got to throw them a little bit of love early on, but you can't sell the house, and you're going to have to make some hard decisions. But look, as a GM, I would change the way I actually go about business. And this is a conversation I've had over the last 4 years with all of you guys. It's something that people are not willing to do. You have to change the way it's going about. I'm in the process of writing an article right now because of what was in the USA Today Sports Weekly. The Rockies are going to have an 11-man rotation. 11-man starting rotation by the end of the year because they can't fix what's going on. Oh, my God. Guys, you need pitchers that can pitch, not
yep.
These guys. They're already talking about pitch counts, 75 for starters and 40 for relievers. Oh, my God, get rid of that. They're just following what everyone else is doing, and that you can't do as a GM. If you're going to do it, Sonny, anyone can be a GM, honestly. Anyone can be a GM if you're just going to do what everyone else is going to do. Everything that Brian said, everything that Cuervo said, there's legitimacy to it because we want to win. We want to win, but we can't follow what everyone else is doing. Sonny Clark, what is your answer to that question?
Well, my answer is really quick. You know, I look at what the guy is. I mean, especially at Jeremy Lin. Right now, he's a one-hit wonder. Now, will he go out and be a great basketball player for the rest of his career? Who knows? And that is the chance that you take, like, on a Jeremy Lin kind of guy. If you're going to be throwing a lot of money at some players, you got to be able to see a guy and what he has done. Now, I'm not talking about paying these guys that are in the twilight of their career the big, big money just because of what their name is, but just an idea of what they are. Jeremy Lin hasn't done anything in basketball before the 25 games that he played last year for the Knicks. And I would not feel good as far as a GM is concerned and my fan base to waste money or maybe put a lot of money on something that could be a dud before it even gets started. If you have some experience and you've seen the guy play and you see what he's able to do, then you grab him up. And desperation is not what you do, such as the Atlanta Hawks paying Joe Johnson 2 years ago the max contract that he could possibly get. And with all due respect to Joe Johnson, I love Joe Johnson. Matter of fact, I think he's a great player, but he sure is not the guy to get those big money for your basketball team. So it's a matter of rating the guys and where you would think they are as far as contracts and what you would want to spend, and you got to be careful. But this satisfies me now on a lot of franchises that are in sports, and that is not satisfying necessarily the organization. It's satisfying the fan, because if there are no butts in the seats, there is no revenue going in. So I get how it's a catch-22, but at the same time, if I'm running an organization, I want to at least see some kind of proof. And just because you are a big name, I don't think that just because you're a big name, you should get the money. However, that's the way the business works, at least as far as basketball, football are concerned. Baseball, you know, yeah, it's there in baseball as well. So I take a look at it, but, you know, just as much as we're talking Jaromir Jagr, if you take a look at him, this is a guy who, I mean, through his career has earned a lot of money and has proven himself, but he's not getting like a crazy max contract that you would see. So it's just a matter of where you think that your team is. And, I found it interesting what you just said about the Colorado Rockies, and let's go into that. That's the great thing about that's being said, because you bring up a great subject, and I want to talk about it. It's about the Colorado Rockies and what's going on with their manager and everything and decisions that are being made. I'm wondering where those decisions are being really made. Are they being made at the manager spot, or are they being made a little bit higher than him? Is Jim Tracy just trying to get out of Colorado because that team sucks? And he wants to get fired and still get paid. I mean, the great thing about that is if he gets fired, he still gets his money on his contract. Let's go back to scorekeeper since you brought it up. The move to make those kind of things, I know you hate the idea. Where's that decision coming from? Is that coming from Jim Tracy, or is that coming a little bit higher in the rankings of the organization over in Colorado?
It's coming from Dan O'Dowd, the general manager. Look, quoted Jim Tracy as saying, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you'll get a different result. We're trying something new. Well, Jim Tracy, every time you think you're going to go out there and win and you don't, that makes you a psycho. So, dude, come on. Look, that might have been lame, and I apologize for that. But it's Dan O'Dowd. They're talking about, we've been trying everything for years since this franchise came into existence. They famously brought in the humidor. You know, for all of you cigar smokers and stuff, you puffers, you know what a humidor is. And that's what they were trying to do. And apparently it was successful early on. But now the same results are taking place. And what I mean by the same results is the same homers per game, the same runs per game. Look, Colorado's 5,183 feet up in the air. It doesn't matter if you use a humidor. I mean, it makes you wonder what the hell they're smoking. Look, the reality is it's light, so the ball is going to travel no matter what you do. The difference here they're talking about is, well, are we going to have 13 runs a game or 12 runs a game? Oh, my God. It's not going to change. So what you have to do is you have to get pitchers that can throw every day, and they can throw a lot of pitches. Pitching counts aren't going to do it. Guys that are treated as teacups are not going to do it. And the Rockies have to, and here it comes, ladies and gentlemen, they have to start. There has to be a paradigm shift in baseball. Pitchers have to pitch every day. They have to throw. They have to run. And God forbid they have to do calisthenics that they don't want to do. They've got to run, guys. I mean, my God, I went back to playing sports. By the third game, I had blown out my arm. And what did I do? I ran. And I got my arm strength back up. You run, you throw, and these guys aren't doing it. So now they're going to do something different. They're going to employ 11 starting pitchers by the end of the year. Oh, my God! Oh, God. Morons. I said this, Sonny, remember? Not too long ago, I said, we're going to have a 15-man pitching staff. And if you have 11 starters, you have 15. That means you have 10 guys for the field. Oh, my God. It has arrived sooner than I thought.
Yes, I remember the day, and it was on a Saturday morning sports talk with the guys, probably maybe 8 months ago when you were going on that. And I agree with you. It just seems like there's some craziness thinking as far as pitching is concerned. But you want to talk about also, if you're a Colorado Rocky pitcher, aren't you loving it if they actually went out and did that? You don't have to pitch, but every other 11th day. I mean, my God, that would be, you know, well, obviously it wouldn't be that way, but it sure in the heck isn't just five. This is easy in reality when I take a look at that. Head over to Allen at, you know, the Colorado Rockies. They are a disaster, without question. In Major League Baseball, they are a disaster. Last count, I think I saw them at 17 games behind in their division, and that's in the West, for God's sake. I'll look that up to get the right number. But, my gosh, I mean, you know, you want to talk about taking something and blowing it up. That's exactly what's happening over in Colorado.
Yeah, the problem with baseball these days, guys, and I hate to use this word, but everybody's a bunch of pussies that play, and you have these 70 pitch counts. So I wonder if they're going to take the salary away from these guys. If I'm used to a 4 or 5 rotation and now I'm getting 14, I'm going to take money away from the starters that couldn't cut it or get rid of them. I'm not going to keep them around. I mean, you know, Roger Clemens back in the day, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, they didn't have a pitch count, really. They just threw until they got tired. And that's a problem with baseball, guys.
Yeah, I think they need to get to, even though I'm not a great big fan of them, I said it this way, they got to get back to the days of Nolan Ryan where they go out and they pitch and they just keep pitching. You want a stronger arm? You keep pitching. Cuervo.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I mean, you don't see quarterbacks in the NFL taking themselves out of the game because their arm is tired from throwing the football. Oh, they go out there and they get stronger and they just keep throwing and they, you know, in practices and things like that. So I'm right with Brian where, you know, you talk about, you know, the way baseball players are compared to other sports. It's too relaxed of a game. It's just too, I don't know. There's really, you don't have to be that athletic to be a baseball player, guys. Let's face it. So I think it's the mentality of players in baseball where, you know, they like you said, they look too much in the pitch count instead of, you know, strengthening their arms because they're like, oh, well, you know, I only have to pitch so many pitches and things like that. It's just the mentality is a whole, it's way different compared to other sports. It's not, and I think that's why baseball has started to fall off a little bit as far as, you know, a sport in America. People still enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's too much, oh, we're going to rest somebody, you know, for 2 weeks because their pinky hurts. It's like, wow, really? You know, there's people in other sports that will play with, you know, broken pinkies or whatever the case is. So, I don't know. It's just different.
I'll tell you, I shook the hands of Courtney Abbott. He's the offensive lineman for the Allen Wranglers, and his hands were a dismantled mess. I mean, he had dislocations on every finger, including his thumb. I bet you he had his palm dislocated. I asked him how many games he's missed, and he said one. Okay, unbelievable. I mean, you know, the difference in sports. Let's bring in Ian. He's going to give us an update on Wimbledon and the men's championship. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's actually stopped the play, but it's been a really cracking game so far. It's one set apiece. Murray came out. He won the first set 6-4. You know, he seemed to be sort of like playing really well, and Federer was sort of like playing rather nervy. In the second set, it was pretty tight. It was pretty much on serve until Federer managed to ambush Murray in the second set and win it 7-5. And they went back on to start playing the third set, and I think it was something like 1-1, one game each before rain stopped play. But it's been an absolutely cracking set, you know, cracking game so far. You know, I won't want to call it. I honestly wouldn't want to call it. It's pretty close.
So are they looking to get that back up and going? I didn't quite hear you there. Are they looking to get it back up and going today? Is it going to happen, or is it raining that hard?
They've actually got a repeat of yesterday's doubles final on right now. But I think what they're looking to do is, in fact, they're hoping it'll stop raining, but if it doesn't stop raining, they'll probably bring the roof down so they can resume the game.
Got it.
But they did say that Murray and Federer will be going off court for about 40 minutes until the rain went away, until the weather predicted the rain go away. But if the rain doesn't go away, they'll bring the roof down and play it as an indoor game, which will actually help Murray's game, actually.
There you go. So good coverage there. We'll keep our eye on the weather over for the Wimbledon Championship. Every year, it's a good time of the year. I love the time of the year, and I actually went back and watched the coverage on. They actually have it going on tennis and everything else, so I got an opportunity because I had forgotten that it was Wimbledon week. Thanks for the update. We'll keep everybody updated on the Wimbledon and what's going on. You're listening to the Couch Potato Sports Show. It is, that being said, it's a Sunday morning roundtable. You want to get in on live, 347-637-2306 is your opportunity to talk a little bit. Since we were talking Colorado and I caught Lenny Melnick on Facebook, I wanted him to give us a call in, and he has not responded, so I don't think he either, A, got the message or can't get in. I would love to hear what the Godfather has to say about the Colorado Rockies and that situation. We'll keep our eyes open for the Godfather, see if he'll join us here on the show. I wanted to get to and talk about something else, but so we don't miss anything that someone does want to talk to, I'm going to go to Cuervo. I mean, we already talked about the big contract. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up here on that being said this morning?
Nothing I could think of off the top of my head. I'm sure as we go along, we're going to find something to talk about. There's always something out there to talk about.
I got a list. I got a list. So in case, but I just wanted to make sure there was something. If you know, that's the good thing about being a panelist, bringing something up. Let's go to Scorekeeper. Is there anything that you in particular wanted to talk about? You already got it out about the Colorado Rockies. So was there anything else you wanted to cover?
Well, there's always a lot of stuff, Sonny, and I went into it yesterday. And really, it's more of a comment at this point. But I said clearly that Harper was not an all-star from the Washington Nationals, and Trout was. Well, someone on the NHL team went down, and lo and behold, obviously someone on the East Coast said, hey, that jerk over on the West said Harper's not an all-star. Let's name him to the all-star team. And sure enough, Mr. Brian Harper, God bless his soul, is now an all-star.
His heart is broken. Let me ask you just a quick question. Is there anything that you have against Bryce Harper, or what's going on as far as your non-love, I guess you can say, for Bryce Harper?
His numbers are not there, Sonny. I actually admire the kid. He was coming up as a catcher, and then the Washington Nationals realized, we're going to destroy this kid as a catcher. His skills are so good. They put him in the outfield. This kid is making plays already like any phenom could and does. The guy is a great outfielder. He's already playing center field at 19. That's the captain of the outfield, the center fielder. And this kid's already earned it, and he's here to stay. Sonny, this kid can hit. He's doing all the right things. Last year in the minor leagues, he had a little bit of an attitude. You needed the adjustment. He got it. You know what? When Cole Hamels hit him this year, you know what Bryce Harper did? He put his bat down and he ran to first. That's what you do. That's the way the game is played. This kid plays it, and I like him. But are his numbers all-star? Hell to the no!
All right. All right.
Did you want me to add more?
Yeah, I am back. I actually put you on speaker so I could hear you as I ran to the restroom. That was funny stuff.
Oh, thank you. I guess that when I speak, people run to the bathroom breaks. Oh, I didn't see that comment in the chat room. Okay, guys, anytime you want a bathroom break, just tell me. talk about pitching or let me see, what's the other topic? I don't know, pitching. Oh, no, Hall of Fame recommendations. You guys can all go to the bathroom. I swear to God, I'll keep you going.
Well, we're going to still take our break in 15 minutes because I've been drinking coffee all morning, so I know I'll have to hit the head again one more time,
Sonny,
at least at the halftime break. So,
Sonny, are you telling me that I am equal to what NASA does every time there's a shuttle launch or every time there's a rocket launch? Remember, guys, how there's programmed stops during the countdown? Am I that programmed stop?
Hey, we have to. I mean, it's just that good.
Could be worse. It could be the Russian astronauts who used that machine to recycle their urine for drinking water.
Oh, you're sweet, Ian. Thank you.
Well, but anyway, I mean, you know, Harper, is it because it's the Nationals, you know, picking up the two quote-unquote next big things? I know you have a hard time with that.
Sonny, look. I think they are an incredibly talented players. There's no doubt. But look, I'm not against the players. I'm against the way they're used by management. Look, they're already talking about it. Strasburg has an innings count, and the Verducci rule is what Tim McLeod pointed out to me, is that when you have a guy that's under 25 and you pitch them more than 10% than they did the year before innings pitched, they're long down the road, their injuries add up.
Yep.
So if you look at the numbers, which I do, and I think this is horseshit, they're saying that you cannot use a guy more than 10%. Well, okay, Strasburg, there you go. The great white hope. He pitched 168 innings last year. Or it was 140 or 150, and that's it. And now with the 10%, he can only pitch 168. That means he's done, like in August.
Yep.
He's got 99 innings already. He's out. And what are the Washington Nationals going to do? So this has nothing to do with endurance. This has nothing to do with it's a number, Sonny. These guys are pussies. Make them pitch. Make them do everything they can. My God, Ron Guidry was the last great endurance pitcher. Yes, I said it. Ron Guidry was the last endurance pitcher. 21 complete games. 21 in 1983. There's no one like, screw Jack Morris. Get out of here. Nolan Ryan, yeah, he can play with him. You know, Roger Clemens, get the hell out of here. All of you guys, get the hell out.
Washington.
There's a guy that you got to complete the games. You got to complete your games. That's what it is. And Ron Guidry was 5 feet 11 inches. He weighed like 170 pounds. He had endurance.
Those are olden days. You're showing your age there, scorekeeper. You're definitely. But hey, the Washington Nationals, you know, sitting on top of the National League East. Let's shoot it over to Cuervo because we talked about this. The numbers you were talking about there, scorekeeper, were not last year for Strasburg. They were the year before because he was out because of his dumb injury that happened. I remember where I was when I heard about Strasburg being out for the season because he threw his arm out. Over in Washington, you know, we've talked about Strasburg and what this guy does and what he can be. But we also talk about what you were talking about there, scorekeeper. You know, the amount of money that's invested in a Steven Strasburg, not much in Bryce Harper, more so than Strasburg. You know, Cuervo, when you look at Strasburg and what's going on with him and how he's going and with the way the Nationals are playing, they got a 4.5 game lead over the Mets, 5 over the Atlanta Braves, and everybody else in that division might be just a little bit too far to be in it. But, you know, the chances, first of all, talk about Strasburg, and then the Nationals' chances of making the playoffs. Go ahead there, Cuervo.
Well, I think with Strasburg, you know, he like the scorekeeper said, he's got a pitch. I mean, this is a guy that can be the next, you know, great pitcher in baseball. But we're never going to know that unless they continue to monitor, you know, his innings pitched or numbers of pitches thrown. You know, then we're going to go back. What if we go back and we're like, well, what if he would have pitched? What more could he have done? That's why I think, you know, people look into the innings too much and go out there and work for it. Go out there, get stronger. Go out there and, you know, build your endurance like we're talking about. And then we're going to see his full, you know, what fully he can do. And that way, you know, we can say, yeah, he had a complete career, not just, oh, you know, he only pitched 17, 18 starts a year because, you know, the so-and-so rule said he couldn't do it. That's such bull crap. So, you know, I think you have to throw all that crap out the window, man. I mean, I just don't like it. It's too much numbers. It's too much of a numbers game when it comes to baseball. As far as the Nationals, I think in the second half it's going to be different. Ryan Howard is now back with the Phillies. I think you're going to start to see the shifts on how we thought it was going to be. I think Philly is going to get back to where they, you know, where they normally are, sitting on the top. I think Washington's going to continue to do okay. I just don't think they're going to win this division, though. I think the Phillies are going to come back strong second half. But, you know, one thing I do want to say, though, I think it's safe to say we officially now know what pushes the scorekeeper's buttons, guys. I just talked a little bit of pitching, talked a little bit about, you know, today's players, and you've got yourself an official scorekeeper, you know, sound off, you know, big F you to the new way baseball is played now.
He definitely doesn't hold back. You gotta love the scorekeeper. Hey, just in comparison, then I'll throw it over to Brian really quick. Comparing Steven Strasburg this year to what he has done so far, okay, at this season, okay, he's played in 17 games this season. Hugh Darvish, on the other hand, has played 16 games. Hugh Darvish has been putting out some innings, 102 innings compared to a Steven Strasburg at 99. So they're going along. I mean, and these are two of the top guys in Major League Baseball as far as pitching is concerned. So they're so far doing about the same. You know, just to kind of comparison a little bit, strikeouts 107 for Hugh Darvish and strikeouts for Steven Strasburg 128. ERA for Strasburg 282 and Hugh Darvish 359. Just an idea, just to see how the two young bucks, the two big guys, two youngest guys that are the headliners are doing. So we'll go over to Brian. I mean, on board as far as Strasburg, on board as far as what you're seeing in Major League Baseball, and what do you think about the Washington Nationals' chances in the National League?
Well, I really think that these guys have peaked. I think they will take a step back, and even a step back might be enough still to get them into the wild card. I don't know, but I do expect the Braves and the Mets to kind of take over this division, but I don't think the Phillies can. I think they're a little too far gone and too old in a way. If Roy Halladay comes back and pitches well and Howard heats up like he always does in the summer, they'll have a small chance. But I just think this is the Braves or the Mets division to lose right now.
And when I look at a good point on that as far as, you know, where the Phillies are and what they can do, and the fact of the matter is you even throw Roy Halladay back into this rotation, you're still talking about the Phillies being really, really far behind in their division, and probably they have no chance to do put themselves in a position to be set for the playoffs. By the way, I wanted to get to Cuervo again really quick because we didn't get him a chance to talk about this. You know, Cuervo, hot dog eating contest, is it a sport?
Is it a sport? No. But do I enjoy watching it every 4th of July? Yes, and I'm upset that I missed it this year. So I don't even know who won this year.
Kobayashi won 68 hot dogs. Kobayashi won with 68 hot dogs.
Outstanding. I'm so glad to hear Kobayashi's back.
Oh, that's it. That's how you say his name. Kobayashi. Thank you very much. I missed it. He's back. Yeah, he didn't win it last year. God, that's sad. I know that.
Well,
I know he didn't win it last
year. But it'd be even sadder if I told you that I know the guy who's beat him the past couple of years. Like, not personally, but I know his name.
I see. Yeah. that's kind of scary. What's his name?
I want to say Joey. Joey, is it Crawford? No, I don't think it is Crawford. It's Joey something though. I remember his name was Joey though.
Well, hey, knowing the first name is enough for me. That's a guy who knows his hot dog eating contest guys right there, right there. It's Cuervo. He never lets us down here up on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And that being said, well, folks, it's Major League Baseball. We're on the top, and I love talking Major League Baseball. Especially having the scorekeeper in town or online talking a little bit about what we see as far as Major League Baseball, because when you look at Major League Baseball and what's going on this season compared to maybe last season and the differences, I mean, we're seeing the Washington actually, be up there at the top of their division. The talk about Kansas City being the next great big thing, falling into their usual thing. There are the regular stories. Seattle sucking as much as they have. I want to talk a little bit about Pittsburgh. I mean, granted, they only got a one-game lead over Cincinnati and 2.5 over St. Louis there in the National League Central, but we're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates going into the All-Star game in first place in their division, which you got to give it to them. I don't know necessarily what they are doing on a daily basis except getting the W's, obviously, but they are sitting right up there, and they're up there with teams such as Washington playing well and doing well. Let's go to scorekeeper, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Are they done being the laughing stock of Major League Baseball, or is it just a matter of time before we see them slide down to the likes of Milwaukee, Houston, and the Chicago Cubs?
Gentlemen, the Pittsburgh Pirates are playing above their heads, but not that much above their heads. This is an incredibly good young team. They brought some veterans in, which I laughed at. I didn't think these veterans were going to do anything, but it was enough for that team to gel, and they're doing very well. I'm sorry, guys. This team is an exciting team, and they're only going to get better. They're not the laughing stock of baseball. If you kind of think about it right now, the Phillies might be the laughing stock of baseball.
Right now.
They're in last place in the National League East. My God, did you ever think that we'd be talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates being better than the Phillies? Well, you know, in an alternate universe, yeah. Which alternate universe? One out of a million. Had to get my Star Trek reference in there. So, look, the Pirates are a better team. Anyone can give you an analysis on them. I don't know if it would even apply. These guys are playing above where they should be, and they're fun to watch. They're having a fun time winning, and that is infectious, guys. You win, they're nothing like you, man.
And here's some bad news as far as the Pirates are concerned, because we know what the home run derby does to baseball players. Guess what? They just 32 minutes ago, while we're in the middle of our show, just announced that Andrew McCutchen is going to take part in Monday's home run derby for the All-Stars festivities. Let's go to Brian really quick. I mean, if you're a Pirate fan, do you really want to see this?
Sure, I do. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. How many Pittsburgh Pirates are in the home run derby? So I think as an all-star, you ought to be required, if someone votes you in, to do it. So that's garbage. It messes up your swing. I mean, you're a professional, for God's sake. I'm excited if I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Cuervo, I mean, seeing the success of the Pirates and what's going on with them this year, are you happy about Andrew McCutchen in the home run derby?
Oh,
Well, yeah, of course. I'm happy for McCutcheon. I think he's been, again, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier today, where you give guys, you reward guys with contracts. McCutcheon's been a guy, Sonny, that has performed for the past few years for Pittsburgh Pirates. So I think he's earned his spot on the National League All-Star team. Absolutely.
Oh, I like the fact that he's an All-Star. I just wonder about the swing and the home run derby, because we've seen lots of players go into the home run derby and just not be the guy that he has been. We'll run this to the scorekeeper, then we'll go to Ian to get an update on Wimbledon. Scorekeeper Andrew McCutcheon, great young player. Great to see where the Pirates are. You talked about them, how fun they are and everything else. Does this hinder the Pirates' situation trying to play for, you know, a division title or a playoff spot?
No. This is an all-star break. He's going to have time to play. Look, this is a fun thing for him to do, to be part of the home run derby and the all-star game. If you cannot adjust your swing after this, come on. This is something you take part of. This is like the papal connection. This is like the presidential connection. You play with all-stars. Guys, think about it. Every guy on this field played an all-star with another all-star, who in turn played with another all-star. There is an awesome connection here. It goes all the way back to the first all-star game in the early 1930s. These all-stars played with those all-stars.
You play, baby. You play. If you get elected, you play.
What?
I agree.
Yeah, and it is a game that has always been about competing, National League and American League. When it no longer became a game, Joe Torre, you ruined it. And when it became a pageant, you ruined it. Guys, remember, there were all-star games that there were one or two players that did not play the game, period, because it was a game that you were out to win. But now everyone's got to get in it. Everyone's have to have their moment. It's no longer a game. It's just a beauty pageant. Get back to it being a game. Win. Make it what it was. Competition between the American League and National League. Because in a little bit of time, guys, National League and American League, they're gone. It's going to be no more. So play it for what it is today.
Oh, that's the problem with the whole thing, though. And that's where it gets up to the value of the players, where they are. They don't look at it as an honor anymore. And I think that's where some of the problems are. There's so much money involved, and there's so much at stake when you're talking about, you know, getting injured or don't want to get out there. I think it should be, and I don't know if it is. I've never seen a major league contract, so I can't, you know, go out there and say. But I think it needs to be written in a contract. If you're voted in, you need to play. You have to play. That's what it is. I mean, because when you get down to it, baseball is still about the fans. And, yes, it's about contracts, it's about money, but in reality, this, and frankly, I'll be honest, I hate the All-Star game in reality, because the guys that should be there are usually not there, or guys that are there have no business being there, and they just happen to be, you know, Alex Rodriguez, or whatever the case may be.
Time out. The fans elected them. So how can you say it's about the fans chastise who the fans elect?
I chastise them because the fans are stupid, and you and I both know that. They don't watch the game. And I know it's about the fan, and I know that's where it comes, and I get it, and I know. But, you know, I feel like Randy Galloway of ESPN here in Dallas at 103.3. You know, watch the damn game, okay? All right, just because Prince Fielder is a great friend, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to get in, but if he's not having a good year, don't put the dumbass in. I mean, he's not playing well, for God's sake. Why? I mean, All-Star Game is about the 2012 season to this point. Who should be an All-Star? Not because you're a name and you are a quote-unquote All-Star. How about earning it into that point? But, you know, that will never happen, because there's no such thing as an educated fan when it comes. When you walk into the ballpark, they hand you the All-Star ballots, and you just click everybody from your home team. You know, it just pisses me off, and it just drives me nuts. But, you know, to be to have it that way. I know it's part of the fans, and I don't, I just don't necessarily agree with what the fan brings to the game when it comes to the All-Star game. I think there has to be a different way. However, that's one of the things about Major League Baseball that does, you know, create the buzz and keep people interested in is like their vote really counts. It's almost like voting for the president. Does your vote really count? You know, kind of thing. And baseball kind of does. So I don't know. Let's go to Cuervo. I mean, you know, All-Star game, is it worth it? I mean, you know, do they got the wrong guys in there every year, or do they have the right guys in there every year? Should there be a change in the way that they figure out who's going to be an All-Star?
I wouldn't say all of them are the wrong guys to be in there, but I do think that as far as how they get voted in, it shouldn't be just solely on the fans, because like you guys are saying, hey, you know, we watch, but, you know, a lot of people, like you said, just go in there and they just vote for the people that they know, the names that they recognize. Oh, there's somebody I recognize. I'll go ahead and vote for him. He might not even have played for, you know, for half the season or something like that. Just like with the NBA. Was it last year, 2 years ago, Yao Ming gets voted, didn't even play maybe a handful of games by the All-Star break. So how does that happen? How does that happen where a guy that doesn't even play during the season is an All-Star? It doesn't make any sense. So I think it should maybe come down to percentages, okay? The fans vote, they count for maybe 20% of the ballots, or so to speak. And then the rest of it is just, it's based on your stats. It's based on your stats and how you're doing, batting averages, or whatever the case may be. It just, I think maybe a panel, maybe the players themselves should vote for who they think is an All-Star. I mean, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. So I think it does need to change, though.
Let's go to Brian, and then we'll get an update on Wimbledon. Brian, I mean, the All-Star game, how it's voted, you like it, hate it, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the fans, I mean, I think baseball is so good and traditional because of the fans. You know, they have an input in this. I mean, honestly, they miss it a lot of the times, but at the end of the day, the fans feel like they're accomplishing something by being able to vote their favorite player in. So I don't have any problem with it, but I do see where a lot of players get left out that deserve to be on it. I do see a lot of times where players get on the team that don't deserve it. So, you know, it works out both ways.
Definitely. And just so we get the full round, I kind of added the subject after Scorekeeper talked about, what do you think? I mean, is there validity or is it just stupid?
Was that directed?
Because we kind of went off a little bit after you made the statement, so I wanted to get your last spot into it.
And you mean stupidity as far as the fans go and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, as far as the fans educate, you know, watching the games. I mean, Lord, guess in case anybody didn't know, Michael Bourne replaces Ian Desmond on the All-Star roster. I mean, if you're not really into baseball, do you even know really who Michael Bourne is in reality?
Yeah, he's the next guy in the Supremacy movies.
The Supremacy.
Yeah, guys, look, you always are going to have that. And I believe it was Brian that said that. There's always going to be guys that are going to be left off. Cuervo knows it. I know it. You do, Sonny. It's always going to happen that way, and it's just the way it is. What are you going to expand the rosters to, 35, 40 guys? I mean, you know, there's got to be a limit. And, Sonny, if you had 50 guys on the roster, there's always going to be a guy left off. It's just the way it is. If you want pure all-stars, then you make it like the Pro Bowl, where the coaches, the players, and the owners get to vote on it. And then you have no fan involvement. You're always going to have ballot stuffers, honey. Way it is. Someone's always going to be left off. Just like whenever we have a staff meeting, you know, Zeke is always left out of the staff meetings. Someone is always... Oh, hi, Zeke.
There we go. Hey, let's get an update out of Wimbledon. Let's bring in Ian here to get an update. Looks like they resume play. Go ahead.
The resume playing is it's actually now a 3-2 in the set to Federer. Murray is serving, and you know it's been the same service game now for the past 10 or 11 minutes. It's one set apiece. It's on serve. A nice little stat for you is Murray's actually served a total of 9 aces thus far versus Federer's 7. And both players have actually saved four break points. So if you want a few statistics, there you go.
But it's
pretty damn close. It's just gone to deuce again for about the sixth time in this game. It's really, really tight.
Thanks for the update there at Wimbledon. We'll keep updating. Hey, we went past the first hour, so everybody needs to hit the head, get some coffee, folks, and Scorekeeper and Cuervo. I got to go get my daughters right down the street. They spent the night. I'm going to grab them and bring them back. I should be back in about 5 minutes. The break is usually 3.5 minutes, so take over when we come back here off the break, if you would, please. And we're going to take that break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show on NDB Media Sports Channel. That being said, starring Cuervo, Scorekeeper, Brian, Couch, Ian, and everybody else. We'll be right back here.
Cool.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go ahead and welcome you back. I know the Couch Potato will be coming back in a moment. I know I interrupted. The wingman is Cuervo. I'm going to hand it off to him. Mr. Cuervo, we are back from our break. Thank everyone for staying with us. Cuervo, take it away, pal.
Okay, maybe he's not back yet.
I'm here, scorekeeper.
Oh, there he is. Go ahead, Cuervo.
You called me with my pants down there, scorekeeper.
I'm sorry, dude.
No, I was kind of mute in the other room, but one quick comment, and we could definitely move on from what we were just talking about. As far as All-Stars is concerned, you know, scorekeeper, you brought it up. You're like, well, should we expand the team? And I was like, hell to the no. You know why? Because here's my opinion on it. If you do that, then a lot of players are going to be like, you know, all I have to do is have half of a decent season, play every game, and I'm going to be an All-Star. I think I deserve it. Well, I'm just like you, scorekeeper. I take that word with a passion. You have to go out there and you got to earn it. If anything, screw it. I think they should reduce the what is it right now as far as the All-Star roster for both leagues? Where is it at right now?
Oh, you got me. Hey, Brian, do you know what that number is? Is it like 30 or 32, something like that? I mean, it's always been more than 25 because it's just unfair. There's always been more. Brian, are you familiar with the number there? Zeke, do you have that number in the chat room? Brian? Okay, maybe Brian's not back.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. I apologize.
No problem.
I think it is around 30. I'm not for sure the exact number.
Yeah, and I know that every year they've taken it up. Well, not every year, but I know they've taken it up a little bit. And it is. I think for some reason it's either 30 or 32. I don't remember, Cuervo.
Either way, guys, even if it is 30, I think let's just say it is 30. In my opinion, I think they should knock it down to 25. And you can still, every team can still get represented with 25 on each roster for each respective league. What it's going to do, guys, this is the whole point I'm making with it. What it's going to do is it's going to make that next guy that much more competitive. It's going to make that guy go out there and play that much harder. And I think that's what baseball might be lacking a little bit. And scorekeeper might go off on me. He might, you know, tell me that I'm way off and whatever. But I just think that there's a lack of competitiveness in themselves as far as wanting to play harder. I think a lot of players nowadays are just like, well, all I got to do is play halfway decent and I'm going to get paid millions, and I'm going to be an All-Star, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I just think that in baseball, things get handed to these players way too much, and I think they forget about, you know, working hard, trying to beat that next guy, trying to be better than that next guy, and that's what you see in the other sport. You know, you look at football, for example, because that's what myself and Sonny Clark, that's what we do best. We talk NFL. I do a little more college than Tony does, but, you know, Peyton Manning is never satisfied with who he is. Tom Brady is never satisfied with the fact that he has three Super Bowl rings. He wants to get that fourth one. He wants to get that fifth one. And I think with baseball, guys, I just think that fire within the players, that fierce competitiveness, it's just not there.
Wow.
Okay.
Brian, go ahead.
They are pussies again. That's the bottom line, guys. I'm telling you. I love baseball. I played baseball, but I mean, I've seen, like, and I hate Tim Tebow, for instance, in football. When he was in high school, he played the fourth quarter with a broken leg and scored a 20-yard touchdown. If a baseball player gets a broken nail, he's out for 2 weeks, and your fantasy team struggles, you know, because of the DL. That's just the way it is, guys. I promise you. That's exactly how I feel. Hangnail. Yeah, I've never figured that one out.
Guys, there is so much to that. And I know Couch Potato's back, so I'm going to hand it off to him in a moment. But I want to add to that. I agree, Brian. I agree, Cuervo. I mean, we could go on forever on that alone. And, you know, look, let's not. We're all in agreement. Couch Potato.
I understand why they do it. It doesn't mean that I agree. It doesn't mean that I agree. You're right. I mean, baseball players and athletes in general, I mean, I just remember, and it was because we've had
Conrad Dobler on this program, folks. And folks that don't know who Conrad Dobler is, this guy's had 32 operations on his knees, never mind playing with broken this, broken that, can't do this, can't do that, twisted knee, twisted ankle. You know, the toughness in today's athlete is exactly what they are in regular life. They are just, patted on the head and just told that, you know, everything is just going to be just fine, little one. You know, it's not about mental toughness or just toughness in general anymore. So that's one of my problems with sports, because I look at the 80s, and of course I'm a child of the 80s, and the scorekeeper can attest to this. There were just a bunch of tougher players. I mean, you even had tough players in the NBA, for crying out loud. The Detroit Pistons, the Bill Laimbeers, these guys, they go in there and just physical basketball players, and it's in basketball is the same. You don't see that because you're afraid you're going to hurt someone. And I liked that kind of game. A physical game that was not dirty, although some people thought the Detroit Pistons were a very dirty team. So that's what I look at. Let's do this really quick before we continue. Let's roll on over to Ian. Let's get an update over at Wimbledon. What's going on over in the main court?
Well, just had an incredible game. It went on for over 16 minutes, close to 17 minutes. And Federer finally broke Murray's serve after about 10 or 11 deuces. It's now Federer serving. It's 30-15 to Federer. But bloody hell, it's an amazing game. As Roger's saying in the chat room, he's been watching it as well. And, Federer just seems to be playing like a bloody Iceman. He's like a robot. Murray's kind of getting head up, all the unforced errors he made in that last game. You know, he's getting quite emotional. He took a few tumbles in the set. In the game as well, so it seems that the momentum right now is in Federer's favor.
Very good. So that over at center court in Wimbledon, Federer looking mighty good over there. Let's head on over to the scorekeeper. I didn't give you did you cover everything as far as that is concerned that you wanted to cover on that before we moved on?
Oh, yeah, Sonny. I've been talking too much. I just want to
add
to
it. No, I thought you had something else to say about it.
So. Oh, I always do, but hell no. I want to hear Brian and Cuervo and you guys and even Ian.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to I've never seen this before, so it was a shock to me. Zach Greinke gets thrown out of the game for spiking the ball. I have never seen this, and I don't understand what the problem was. He was just pissed off. I mean, it's not like he threw it at anybody. They ejected him out. And actually, he's going to start today in the game against the Houston Astros. So I thought it was just quite interesting that they threw him out of the game after a close call at first base. I mean, my gosh, let's go to Cuervo. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was no great big deal. Why are we making such a huge deal over some frustration showing? Like I said, at least he didn't throw the ball at someone's head.
Exactly, and that's when I first saw it, because I did see it. Actually, I just saw it a few minutes ago. I didn't say throw it. For those who didn't see it yet, it was a short grounder to second base. Second baseman, underhands it to Greinke, and he goes to beat the run, and he gets safe. So he starts to walk away from the umpire, away from the base, and he spikes the ball, like you said. First thing umpire does, throw him out of the game. He's like, what? He's like, I'm mad at myself. What's the big deal? Manager comes out. He argues for his pitcher. They throw him out. I think the umpires are just kind of like ejection happy right there for the moment. But, I mean, you're right, Dex. What is the big deal about arguing the call? What is the big deal about, as a manager, defending your pitcher, just saying, hey, he didn't mean anything by it or whatever? Not in those words, obviously. But I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, what is wrong with standing up for a player of yours? I mean,
yeah,
if a football coach was to do that for one of his players, I mean, you don't see coaches getting thrown out of games. It just doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't happen. And it goes all back to what we were talking about in the first hour, guys. The difference between baseball and every other sport.
Yeah, and I'm rewatching it again because I just wanted to make sure my he was just angry and he was and he ejects him. It doesn't make sense. Oh, you know what? Guess what? That's a Bush League call. It's not like he used the word that you don't, you know, call an umpire, as in Bull Durham says. You don't use that famous word that gets you in a lot of trouble. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to post the link that they had as far as what happened. I mean, my gosh, I mean, show a little spear, guys, could you imagine what they would have done to John McEnroe, how many tennis matches they would have kicked him out of, you know, as far as that's concerned. Let's head on over to Brian. I mean, I don't know if you saw it. I went ahead and I put it up in the chat room if you get an opportunity. I mean, what's the big deal? Are we missing something?
Well, the problem is umpires are oversensitive and they're not held accountable. So if the umpire took it as he didn't agree with that safe call, and then in his egotistical mind, and when he slammed the ball down, he ejected him. And that's all that happened. It's his ego. The umpire's ego got in the way, and Greinke went away from the guy and threw it. I understand. I mean, I don't know what was said. He could have said, you're full of shit, guy, and you threw the ball down. I didn't hear that. But I think umpires are oversensitive, and they're not held accountable like the players are.
Geez, I think if I got mad every time someone called me a name, even the name that you don't say to an umpire, I'd be in a mental institution. I mean, but scorekeeper, I mean, the guy was showing a little fire. He was upset, and he wasn't upset at anybody but himself or the situation.
Yeah, guys, come on. Umpire overreacted. As an ump, you're sensitive to being shown up because these players are in many ways out of control. The players are out of control. The umpires are out of control. Why hasn't baseball stepped in? Because both sides are out of control and they're trying to resolve it internally. So the umpire wasn't facing him when he did it. He was frustrated. You know, it's like the times that we grip the ball after we're like, oh, gosh, you know, except he threw it down. And I, as an umpire, would have turned around and I would have just looked at him to see how he would have reacted to me. But the umpire didn't even give him a chance. He just said, you're out of here. And this is Zach Greinke, for goodness sake. I mean, this guy doesn't, he doesn't worry about a fruit fly coming in. I mean, come on, for goodness sake. But you know what was really disgusting? When ESPN called him the great Greinke. I wanted to throw up, and I wanted to throw what I had in my plate at the ESPN commentator. The great Greinke? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. I think he is a very good pitcher. Yeah, to give him a title like that, probably a big mistake. But you know what? You know, we don't know what he said underneath his breath either. I don't know. I think it's a major overreaction to me. And it's amazing. Forget the players having their egos. You got umpires that have egos. I mean, it's really sad to say. But that's usually the way it ends up, you know, as far as play. I love the fact that maybe Greinke showed a little emotion, because that's one of the problems, the reason why in Kansas City, folks, in case you didn't know it, get into Ron. If you want to hear some good stuff, listen to one of my first interviews I've ever had here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And we were talking with the Kansas City Royals second baseman, Frank White, and he's now part of the upper echelon there in Kansas City, talking about Zach Greinke, talking about his emotional problems, and talking about how he can't handle his emotions. I think for once we've seen Zach Greinke show, you know, the right attitude
I mean, really, I mean, if you are a fan of Greinke and know what his story is, when you seen that, you were happy to see that out of him, because that's something that you would have hoped to see when he was younger, which was fire. And what it, I think, me personally, I think it shows mental growing up on him, because normally he would not be able to handle something like that. He handled it in a different way than maybe some players would, but I like it. I think it's fire in him, but he's going to – no big deal. He's going to start today before the All-Star game. So after four pitches, that's crazy. And did the manager get thrown out of that game too? I don't know. Did he get thrown out?
I think so.
Yes, he did.
Wow. I didn't necessarily know that the manager got thrown out in that. So let me hit this. Yep. Okay.
You see, guys, as manager, I would have played that game under protest.
Well, did they win?
No, they lost.
Oh, okay.
Can you play that under protest? When it's like that, when it's a judgment call and then the ejection, are you protesting the ejection of the pitcher?
Exactly. I'm protesting the ejection because it was just clearly a bad call. You cannot – well, okay, guys, hold on a minute. You can protest anything because, remember, let's go back to 1983. Billy Martin got George Brett kicked out because in the umpire's call, the pine tar was more than 36 inches. That was a judgment call. And Dick Houser protested it and eventually won. I understand what you're saying, but you can basically protest anything. And
but
they got away
the
with it.
What's the result of a protest, though? In this case here, scorekeeper, and I'm asking because I don't know. I mean, do they change the loss to a win? I mean, what do they win? I feel like I'm on The Price is Right. What did they win if they win the protest?
Okay, this goes to Brian and Cuervo and to you. I don't think you would have won the protest anyway, but you got to start somewhere and somehow. But if you win the protest, guess what? It's a do-over. You start from right after he was kicked out. You continue the game from that point, and the 6-3 loss is nullified.
Wow. I see. I didn't necessarily know about that. That's a very interesting.
The Pintar deal wasn't a judgment call. It was actually a rule that the umpire used his judgment instead of actually determining it, right? And that's correct.
The rule is, guys, that you can have pine tar on your bat, but it cannot exceed the length of the home plate, which I believe is 36 inches or something. And it was more than that because what they did is they put the bat to the home plate and it exceeded. And most players exceed that.
Yep.
So, and that's exactly what happened, Brian. You got it. You got it right there.
It's that's so cool. I'm glad that we're talking about that because that was such a big thing. I remember Brett losing his mind coming out of the dugout. I mean, you just remember where you were when you seen it. And I can honestly say I was watching that game live when it was going on. It's so cool. When that whole thing went down, I was actually watching. I'm like, wow, Brett's losing his mind, which was great. Now he's an egotistical jerk. He never answers my emails, the jerk. Take away from that. It's the judgment. It's the ego. It's, you know, man, oh, man. Zeke, that was awful. In the chat room. Yeah, that was bad. Of course, I'm laughing about it, so there you go. But a little bit oversensitive that we got going on. But Greinke is going to go ahead and he's going to start today. Four pitches. You know, I'm surprised they just didn't give him the rest of the week off. You know, he did go out and throw four pitches. You know, it's, you know, good stuff there. All right, let's go to the NFL. We're talking about a lot of things going on. How about, and I'm going to shoot this over first to start with Cuervo in the NFL. Cuervo, we're talking about an offseason that has been a disaster for the Detroit Lions. I don't know how many have been arrested. I don't know what the problem is. And you know what? I remember last season we were talking about who is really in control of this football team. And I'm not saying anything about his coaching style or anything else. I think he's a good coach. But, man, oh, man, when everything started to fall apart as far as the Detroit Lions and the eventual shove to the 49ers coach and – You know, we're talking about a team that's actually making progress and becoming a good football team, but they're falling apart, whether it's on the field. Now you got off-the-field problems with the Detroit Lions. What's going on in Detroit?
It's the same thing, the same thing you see on the field is the same thing that's happening to them off the field. Lack of discipline. Bottom line, lack of discipline and – I'll tell you, you can't put all the blame on Jim Schwartz because here's the deal. These are grown men, guys, that we're talking about here. Professional football players who most of them, well, all of them went to college because this isn't the NBA. They all went to college, okay? Now, does that mean that they have a sense of responsibility? No. But they're adults is the point I'm making. And they're just not acting like it. And it's a lack of discipline, guys. I'm not saying Jim Schwartz gets none of the blame, but you can't give it all to him either. There's got to be some sort of line as far as discipline is concerned. Because I'll tell you, a team that is taught that on the field is going to have it off the field too. So I think that, that's where the blame for Jim Schwartz comes in. But at the same time, you're a grown man. You know what's right and what's wrong. At least you should know. And for those that don't, grow up, bottom line. So I think for the Detroit Lions, if they want to get back to the playoffs that's coming up here, and if they want to get further than, getting blown out in the wild card round,
yep,
they're going to have to grow up.
Absolutely, and it's Nick Fairley's turn in that whole thing. Been arrested twice in Mobile, Alabama. I'm going to take it to the Alabama man. I'm talking about Brian. He's from Alabama. Probably knows a little bit about this situation, hearing the stories and everything else. But driving under the influence of alcohol while being clocked at 100 miles an hour, boy, oh boy, you want to talk about a recipe for disaster. Forget it. That's not a recipe for disaster. That's like the dude that got convicted of arson in Phoenix, Arizona for burning his house, and he takes something and kills himself right there in the courthouse. My gosh, I mean, I cannot believe that, I have a 20-year-old, and unfortunately I wasn't a part of his life for 15 years, but man, my son is so dumb. I cannot believe it. Yes, I'm saying that on my own radio station. I cannot believe how dumb he is, and, he's not even as mature. My son seems like to be a little bit more mature than some of these idiots that are out there playing for the Lions. Let's go to Brian. Brian, what are you hearing about this? This is obviously big down your way.
Well, I mean, I knew Nick Fairley before he came to Auburn. You know, he had to go to junior college because he had a few issues like he's having now. And, when Chizik recruited him and got him, he laid down the law to Fairley about getting in trouble. But if you saw Fairley on the field, and I'm a big Auburn fan, but he's probably one of the dirtiest players I've ever seen, which really reflects on your character if you're me. So if you go outside of that, now he's got some entitlement, he's got some money, and now he's just out of control. And hopefully this will teach him and maybe slow him down a little bit, because if he doesn't change, he's going to be in prison instead of just getting suspended and fined. So he's entitled, he thinks, because, he was a great football player, but he was a thug football player.
Yes, the thug mentality, scorekeeper, we're seeing a lot of, especially Detroit, but we're getting off-the-field problems, and with the day and age of the Internet and instant news, I mean, you blow your nose wrong, you're on the Internet.
Yeah, Sonny, it's a good thing that everyone is being caught. It's just the way it is, Sonny. But, look, players are players. they've always done this, Sonny. It's just to what level? It's just it's sad, really, that TV has dumbed and numbed the kids of today. They think that whatever's on TV, they themselves can do. When we thought the funniest scene in our day was to imitate guys from movies, a funny scene or something. Guys, come on. Where's the beef? You know, that was our thing. Being able to have a moment and say, where's the beef? These guys, they think their moment is doing, you know, the San Andreas version of that cop game, or no, of that car stealing game. Just like in a video game, they want to do that. Look, thank God I never lived in the Star Trek era, because I'd steal the Enterprise every chance I got.
Yeah, that's it. And,
oh, come on, that was funny.
It was funny. We got to just be careful. I'll forget it. It was funny. I was going to say we got to be careful what we laugh at.
My second Star Trek innuendo.
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, it's no short. We got Adrian Peterson with the situation coming out.
Right.
Yeah, he got his ass busted, and he was very drunk. And the initial reports came out that he was a victim of some overzealous bouncers and stuff like that. But the manager's coming out and saying, no, he was being very drunk. He was very difficult with everybody and customers all night long. And he tried to intimidate the bartender into selling him some things that he wasn't supposed to give him after a certain time. So, you know, it's that entitlement. I'm Adrian Peterson, you know, but at the same time, if I'm Adrian Peterson, okay, I'm not necessarily out getting drunk at a bar or a club. I'm more worried about getting back on the football field, although I don't know. I don't think we're going to see him a lot this year on the football field because of the injury. I'm not saying the guy shouldn't go out and have a good time, but my gosh. But, you know, it's kind of funny, Cuervo. You made a statement that really kind of rang in my ears, because I told my son this as well. You know, you're a man at 18. If you're not mentally a man, you don't get a chance to learn to be a man at 18. You're a man, so you got to take on these responsibilities of being that man. If you don't, you're just look like a little punk thug. And you know, you said it in your statement. You said we're talking about grown men. That's the deal. These are some of the most immature people in the world, and that is the young athlete that's out there. Whether it's a Dez Bryant doing what he's doing, you know, off the field problems, or Adrian Peterson, or for all that matters, the seven guys that have been arrested from the Detroit Lions. They may be quote-unquote men, but they're not really men. I mean, geez Louise, they got the intelligence and the mentality of a 15-year-old sometimes, Cuervo. So, that being said, of course, the name of this show. Do you make restrictions on what and how old? I mean, yes, they're talking about you got to play a year, do this, but you know, age restriction. And I mean, my gosh, how do you teach a dumb kid to do something when you are just being showered like you are God's gift to you know the world and the best thing to come along since sliced bread? How do you break that channel, especially in athletics? I mean, what do you think? I mean, is that ever going to change? Will it change? And if it's going to change, how are you going to do it?
Sonny, I'll be honest with you. I don't see it changing anytime soon. I don't because everybody, you know, as an agent, okay, you see a young man, you know, 14, 15 years old, who could be the next LeBron James in basketball, or could be the next Adrian Peterson in football. All you see is money, dollar signs. Every time you look at that person, you see dollar signs. So instead of taking a step back and thinking, you know what, I want to develop this kid. I want him to become, you know, a grown man. I want him to teach him responsibility, this and that. I want him to become the next great. All they see is dollar signs, guys. So what do? They do exactly what you were talking about just now. They tell them they're the greatest thing, you know, since sliced bread, like you said. And I just think it's going to get worse. I do. I think it's going to get worse because you know, everybody gets more money hungry as, you know, as the years go by. The way to change that, though, is to stop treating them that way. And you got, and it has to start at a young age. It has to start at a young age. Teach them responsibility. Teach them, you know what? Hey, you may be a great basketball player, but nothing is guaranteed until you get there, until you officially make it in the NFL, until you officially see yourself wearing that uniform, until you officially get that first paycheck. You haven't done jack squat yet. Yeah, you're a great high school player. Yeah, you're a great college player, but you could go out there and you could shatter your knee tomorrow in practice. So guess what? Until it happens where you get drafted, or until it happens where you put on that uniform of that professional team, whoever you wind up representing, you haven't done anything yet, and nobody owes you a damn thing. So go out there and get it. Go out there and earn it. And I think that's where the problem is because they go out there and people get so caught up in the whole, well, this guy's going to make billions of dollars and he's going to be the next great thing. They don't realize, you know what? What has he really done yet? He's only in high school or he's only in college. He hasn't really done anything yet. So
yep.
I think that, and I know that, Sonny, I use this word and you like to use it too. It's all about being humble. You got to stay humble until you actually make it in the professionals.
Yep, it's all about being humble. Let's run on over to Brian. Brian, the players are almost, and I hate to say it, but especially in Detroit, but the players are out of control.
Yeah, and when you see that, you have to really look at who you're drafting. You have to really know the player, and I know people are human, they're going to make mistakes, but I don't see really any other NFL teams besides Detroit getting hit like this. So I'm looking at the head coach when it comes to this and the owner, and I'm seeing what they're doing.
Yep. That's where I'm looking at too, definitely. Scorekeeper. I mean, who's ultimately the blame there? Well, ultimately the blame is the player, but I mean, as a owner, as a coach, as a disciplinarian in that sport, how much of a responsibility is it on the head coach?
First of all, Cuervo, thanks for putting that article in the chat room a while ago. Guys, follow the rules. They have morality clauses in their contracts. If they do something that embarrasses the team, enforce it. Baseball has it. Basketball has it. Hockey has it. Doesn't football have it? Oh, golly gee, yeah, they do. They do have it. Enforce the rules. That's all you have to do. If this is going to continue till you stop it, of course it's going to continue. So, yeah, guys, look, the ones responsible are the players. But you know what? There are lots of people that are after sports players now that are trying to make themselves careers. I think this is a good thing. Look, it's up to the player. If they're going to be showered on in college and in high school, good for them. Well, now you're in the real world now, dude, or dudette.
Yep. And I'm waiting for a Roger Goodell on this one. I mean, you think about it, you have an overzealous commissioner already in football. He hasn't given his quote-unquote decisions on these things as far as the Detroit Lions are concerned. I have a feeling that's about ready to come down big time. I mean, Skorky, I'm sorry I interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, not at all. No, I agree, Sonny.
Yeah, so when you got a guy like a Roger Goodell that's in control of that whole situation with the problems that the Detroit Lions, we might be talking a little bit early because Roger Goodell might be ready to kick some ass. I mean, he's done it before. I mean, look what he's done over there with the Saints and on something that is quote unquote a rule, and he pounded into him really well. So these off-the-field problems that they're having and everything else, it's real interesting. Now, let's get into an interesting story because when I saw this one, I didn't need to read the article to know I agree 100%. And the article is if you get an opportunity to get to the Boston Globe, you have a good article about Aaron Hernandez says he won't accept the franchise tag as a tight end. It's really an interesting story, and this is where the franchise tags have
have put football into a different position because you do have a tight end. I mean, there are a lot of tight ends that could be considered wide receiver. One just off the top of my head happens to be here in Dallas, and Jason Witten, one of the main guys that Tony Romo throws the football to. Same thing up in New England, as Aaron Hernandez is the top tight end in the NFL right now, and it's the buzz is already out about him being franchise tagged next year. He says he won't accept the franchise tag as a tight end because the difference is about almost double. If he gets franchise tag as a tight end, he's going to get paid around, based upon the numbers today, $5.44 million. Okay, compared to a wide receiver who gets paid 9.515 in the top five in those positions. I mean, do you see this as a problem? Let's go to Brian. Do you see this as a problem as far as what players are going to start doing as far as making demands such as, hey, I'm not going to take a franchise tag as a tight end. I'm a wide receiver. Go ahead.
Exactly. It's all a game now. It's a business, and these players are getting smarter. They're following the leads of others. They have lawyers. So, yeah, it's going to continue to do this, and it is going to tarnish the game unless the owners do something about it.
I've never been a fan of the franchise tag anyway when they introduced it, about, I think it was like 5 or 6 years back. Cuervo, I mean, Aaron Hernandez, definitely a guy that you want to keep happy. I mean, in reality, if you are the Patriots, first of all, you don't put the franchise tag on him knowing about this. You want this guy happy. You got a love affair between Tom Brady and Aaron Hernandez. You don't let it get to that point. But the franchise tag, are you seeing it as a good thing in the NFL, or is it a hindrance to the NFL as a whole?
Well, so you look at the way that the tag is being used, especially, just this offseason alone, hasn't worked out very well for a lot of teams. Here in Chicago, Matt Forte, not working up too well. New England, now we're talking about Aaron Hernandez, not working out too well. Ray Rice, I think, got the franchise tag in Baltimore. He signed, but he's still not happy. And the biggest one, obviously, which there's been no progress as far as I understand, I try to look for an update. There's no update. Drew Brees is in New Orleans. So the franchise tag has not been working for anybody so far in the NFL. So right now, I mean, if it was up to me, either you sign the guy to a deal or you let him go. Franchise tag is just kind of like, we want to keep you around, but we're not fully committed to you.
Yep, and that deadline's coming up, July 16th for Drew Brees, and then the arbitrator has ruled in favor regarding Brees, and so that's going to be an interesting situation come July 16th as far as the Saints are concerned. Let's go over to Scorekeeper. You liking the franchise tag in the NFL, or you think this is something that will not, that will cause, even more problems in the future?
Sonny, is Mr. Hernandez a tight end or not?
He is. That's his position. That's what the position he has, yes.
Okay. Does he play tight end? Yes, he does,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Fine. What's he complaining about? That's just the way it is.
Oh, he's complaining about not getting $4.5 million that a wide receiver would get. That's it.
Right, but
money.
He is not their wide receiver. He is their tight end. He should have been a wide receiver. And now, if they use him as a wide receiver and he's not being used as a tight end, well, that's different. That's why I said, what's his position? How does he play it? He's a tight end. Hey, so be it. That's just the way it is. You should have asked mom, done a better job when she had you. So, hey, that's the way that he should blame his mama for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's he needs to call his mama and maybe even do the tear in the beer. I don't know. I just see this as being something else that's going to be keeping going. And speaking of that whole situation as far as the Saints and everything else, how about Sean Payton? Now, I made a bold prediction that Sean Payton would be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the near future. And now he loses the $3.45 million mansion in Texas, Okay, so I might have to take a step back, but you want to talk about something that's been under the radar. It's the divorce of Sean Payton. I didn't even necessarily know about this for a long time, but she gets to raise the two kids, and Payton gets to pay alimony and child support for a very, very long time. Just, I mean, you know, and my gosh, when I see these kind of things, and I see players are getting married, and, you know, I love it. I think Chad Ochocinco was actually – oh, my gosh, I'm going to say something that I'm really going to regret. He did something right. He didn't get married until he's in the twilight of his career, to whereas if he does get divorced, he's not going to get raked over the coals as much. But, you know, my gosh, you want to talk about a business. It's not about getting married to any athletes or any of the famous people anymore. This is a career now. I mean, it's a career choice. I'm wondering if they're going to start teaching it in colleges, you know, how to rip off a famous person and get half, as Eddie Murphy said in his famous stand-up routines. I mean, I find it very funny. But Sean Payton's wife gets the $3.45 million mansion in Texas. I don't know. I think my prediction of seeing Sean Payton as the coach of the Dallas Cowboys might have just thrown out the window. Who's up? Who wants to take on Sean Payton and women taking advantage of athletes with their money?
Well, I will. If it's not the women, it's the athletes letting them take advantage. These guys are morons to just marry somebody off a whim. It's different if you're in love with that person and you really truly love them and you commit to them. But these guys are just wanting a wife, and they're getting suckered by these girls and not thinking with the right head, so to speak.
I love it. Hey, as you got the famous athletes of the world, they're going to keep coming. Cuervo, this is going to be, you know, it's now turned into a career move for women. You know, no great big surprise, I guess, in reality with, you know, what money does stand for anymore, which, you know, I mean, if you're an athlete going into these days, are you even thinking about, I mean, I don't even know if I'm even wanting to get involved with a woman if I'm a famous athlete anymore. I mean, matter of fact, someone made mention yesterday that Peyton Manning was married. I didn't necessarily know about it. You talk about a guy who's kept that under wraps. I didn't necessarily even know about it. It's a business now, isn't it, Cuervo?
It is, and I mentioned it yesterday on the show. I think he has kids as well, so he's a father, and I know probably not a lot of people knew that, but
yeah, I did.
He's married with children, so. But you know, as far as the whole women thing, and them, you know, how you were talking about making this a career or profession or whatever you want to call it, you know, for if you want to really ask somebody what it's like for that stuff to happen, maybe Ben Roethlisberger would be a good guy to ask.
That was the one I was thinking of. It's a problem, eh? Yeah, I'm just saying, if someone didn't steal the name of that show, that was the next name of my show. I'm just saying, someone else stole it here on Blog Talk Radio. But anyway, take away from that. I mean, you know, we're going to see it all the time, Scorekeeper. As long as the guys hang out at the club, and as long as they hit the street with their, you know, $1 million spendouts on a weekend, a la Adam Pac-Man Jones, you're going to have this problem in professional sports, or just in general if you're a celebrity.
Yeah, Sonny, look, I watch and learn, and I see everything. It's like, come on, these idiots aren't paying attention because that's just what they want to do. When they get they're saying, I'm going to get my shot, and this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, there are risks in it. Everyone wants your money. I mean, where were your friends? Oh, I'm sorry, that's right, your friends want your money too. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you know, poor boys making hundreds of millions of dollars and not knowing what to do. You're right. Everyone's out to screw them.
Yep. And how about this? I mean, you know, how about a little love back? I mean, you know, especially if you had the money and you gave it away,
that's,
and then
a counter
now you don't have
any.
Yeah, you're not going to see where your friends then, too. They're gone, too. So,
yeah.
But, on that note, we just blew through 2 hours here. On that being said here, let's get a final update from the Wimbledon before we get out of here.
Hey guys, it's 4-2 in the fourth set to Federer is up. Murray's serving and it's 15-30 in Murray's favor. But you know, I think Murray's trying to stage a comeback here. But you know, so I'm not sure if he's going to have enough time really. It just looks like the momentum's completely in Federer's favor right now, to be honest.
Yeah, it seems like he's coasting right now. So that you're exactly right. We like to thank Ian for the updates there on Wimbledon. Of course, Scorekeeper for letting us steal his channel for the day. And Brian from Wade in Sports. Brian, what time's your show on tonight?
9 p.m. Eastern.
9 p.m. Eastern. Get on over. It's a good show. Sometimes I think I'm going to get there, and I never get there. And, of course, Cuervo, the fine co-host of this program, my friend, I hope you have a good day. We'll see about getting this set up here during the week. We're going to get back to our old schedule here soon.
That sounds great, Sonny. You know, I hope we can do that. And, you know, I look forward to getting some weekday shows with you once again.
Yeah, as soon as the football is over, and that will be Saturday, make sure you join us for the United Bowl on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll be bringing you the championship game of the IFL. Roger Noriega and Austin Tolliver, wide receiver of the IFL, is going to be in on the call along with me. So for everybody on the panel, I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, and we're out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. Check y'all later, my friends.
Bye-bye.
Okay, later, bye.
See you, Sonny.